Okay, so it's recording and we can, I can proceed with the roll call. Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, February 23rd, 2022. Commissioner Stipo?
Here.
Robin McCardle?
Here.
Manyan Getsy?
Here.
Lucy LaBosha? Okay, we have a quorum and we proceed with the meeting and the next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes.
Okay. I didn't find anything wrong with the minutes.
They look good to me.
Okay, if there are no additions or corrections to the minutes, then I guess they'll stand as presented.
Do you want a first and second on that?
Oh, good. Okay, I couldn't remember with this organization whether we vote on those or not.
Yes.
I first that or second that, however needed.
Okay, do we have both or do we need another one?
Okay, so Manyan, first and who's the second?
So I can second it.
Steve, okay, thank you.
All right, so all in favor, please say aye or wave or something.
Aye.
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 Okay, very good. Apparently it's unanimous. Call to the audience. Do we have any new members that need to be introduced or potential new members that need to be introduced, Diana?
I do not see Mr. Rincon on the meeting, so.
No, I do not, Steve. Right.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll go ahead and read this. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Has to be something on the agenda. So, now we are down to the officer elections, and I believe it said staff would take that over.
So, Mr. Poe, Ms. Getsky, and Robin, and Ms. Letsky, sorry, I pronounced that wrong. Sorry. Lara is at mail.
It's LaBosha. My
LaBosha.
Last name, LaBosha, yes.
Thank you, Lucy. I apologize. Lara, we meant to start the meeting by sharing that Lara is at the mayor and council meeting.
Oh,
which okay. Is why she's not joining us. So we did move 2 items to future agenda items that she wanted to share with the group in a further meeting. And that was one of them was the budget conversation and the master plan conversation for the park, which we will have full reports in the next meeting. So I apologize for not starting with that. But with regards to the officer elections, Ms. Getsky presented an option to us yesterday, and I spoke with Lara about it. And since there's a new member coming on board in the next meeting, and 2 of the 4 current members are new, would we like to consider holding off the election for the next meeting or the meeting after? The group can certainly have a discussion and decide what you'd like to do. We would support either decision.
Well, I wasn't ready for that one.
Sorry, I heard Robin, Mr. Poe.
Oh, I just said I wasn't prepared for that one. So go ahead and do whatever it is that the majority of the people want to do.
I would say we wait until those vacancies are filled and have this on, I would say a future agenda, probably April. Would that be all right?
If that's what you choose, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's just sort of logical, given all the upheaval the commission has experienced. Let us get our feet on the ground a bit.
And I strongly concur as the newest member in attendance currently.
Perfect. Then we will make sure it's taken care of in the March agenda, and then April. And then, Mr. Poe, will you mind stepping in as the tenured commissioner to continue?
Yeah, no problem.
Great. Thanks.
All right.
Mr. Poe, can I break in just for a moment? Last meeting, there was a couple of people who tried to get in to call the audience and could not get through with the information. And there is a woman trying to get in right now to call to the audience, and she's having difficulties. She wanted to speak about handicap parking issues and Reed Park, and she's trying to get through. It says when she's trying to join that it can't open the page. This page is loading right now. Please try again later. And I've heard similar the last meeting as well from other people. I don't know what's
possible. Is it possible for her to use the phone number to get through?
I did give her that. I'm going to give her, tell her to go ahead and try that. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I do have the phone number if you need that.
There's a 321 phone number in the audience now. Is that her?
This is Jennifer. I'm having the same trouble. I can only get through by phone.
Did you want to address the board?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm just sitting in, but I just wanted to let you know that this seems to be some kind of universal problem out here.
Thank you very much for that information. And Manon, did you get the number that ended in 2303 as the one you gave her?
I believe so. I'm going to have to relook. If you give me a moment.
Oh, okay.
If she can't get through, I could paraphrase what her issue is. She approached me on it.
Would you like to wait, or would you like to come back to that? I don't have any problem in us rearranging the agenda if she is able to get back in.
Let's give her a moment.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, great. Good afternoon. Yes, you can hear me okay?
Yes, and this is, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. If you don't mind clearly stating your first and last name for the record, please. Thank you.
Yes, Margaret Madrid.
Okay, Margaret, go ahead for it.
Yes, I have a concern for the lack of handicap space close to the dog parks. On a personal matter, my mother is elder and I have to park further down to use a handicap in the large dog park space. And it's inconvenient because it takes a chance to my small dog to interact with a larger dog, which would cause a hazard if anything would go wrong in trying to get closer to the small dog park where I have to go. So it would be more convenient, not only for myself, but there's others there that use walkers and canes, and it's increasing. A lot of people have been falling because of that curb. So it would benefit everyone, not only for their health, but for their safety, to have a space put in there, or a couple of spaces for the handicap. And that was my concern for today.
Okay, Margaret, you did not mention which dog park you are speaking of. Are you speaking of all of them or one in particular?
The one at Reed Park.
The one at Reed Park, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
The parking lots were designed at that time, the dog parks weren't placed in. So there is some people that are on wheelchairs, like my mother, that could benefit to have the handicapped spaces placed closer for
very good
their convenience. Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to address us about?
No, just that I noticed the increase of people falling because lack of.
Okay. Very good. We have a place later on in the agenda where we actually ask for things to be placed on the agenda. So we'll try to make sure that gets done.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you being patient with the system here, and we'll try to do the same.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Was there anyone else who had trouble getting into the call to the audience?
This is Diana. Can we ask where the link was that the guests are trying to use to access? Is that through the city clerk's website?
Margaret, yes, did you understand the question?
I sent the link directly from the email I was given to this person.
That's the one that I knew.
And I believe that was per your instructions the last time when I emailed about the problems for last week, last month. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just pulled it up on the agenda here and I seemed to get through, but okay, I'll kind of look into it further and see and try to diagnose and see what's going on. I apologize for that. Manuel, you still have your hand raised up. Was that from previous or do you have something further to discuss?
No, that was it.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
I believe we're down to number five, which is the Senior Olympics presentation. Who is to give that?
So real quick, Robin, did you have your hand up? Did we take it down?
It's down.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I believe Joe Stubbins is on the meeting to give a report, and then Mele Ferrara and Deborah Henley.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Joe Stubbins here, City of Tucson Parks and Rec Department. I'm working in the Senior Olympic office, which is at the Morris K. Udall Regional Center. Mele is our supervisor and Deborah is my counterpart. We are both the coordinators for the Senior Olympic Festival. And I just have a few things to share. So I was going to ask to share my screen first. If that's okay.
Okay. You're good.
All right. Well, awesome. No worries, thank you. We're gonna play our opening ceremonies video, which we shared with our all of our participants.
Okay.
Nothing yet, Joe. There you go.
Joe, make sure when you share, you switch it over to include computer sound.
Joe, we're just seeing your email screen.
Do you want me to share it, Joe?
Joe, are you there, Joe?
I'll go right into his office next door and tell him. Hold on.
Tell him about the device settings.
I have it up if he wants me to share it.
Boy, technology is not our friend today. Let's blame it on the wind.
That should work. There's plenty of it to go around here.
That's for sure.
It's cold out there too.
Press play, Jeff. Oh, he didn't use the sound.
Volume.
No, it's Joe, when you click share your screen at the top, there's a button you have to switch over that says include computer sound. You want me to share the video, Joe? You guys hear it?
Yes.
Hello, please. I'm Lara Hamway, your Parks and Recreation Director for City of Tucson. Welcome to our 37th annual Senior Olympic Festival opening ceremonies. We are so excited to welcome you, whether you're a first-time or returning athlete. At the end of the day, what we want is for you to have a lot of fun. We are honored to have a presenting sponsor, Atria Bell Court Gardens, and they have this message for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this year's Senior Olympic Games. My name is Deborah. I'm with Atria Bell Court Gardens, and this year we're the proud sponsor of the Senior Olympic Games. I'll be out there at some of your events. Stop by and say hello, but in the meantime, let the games begin.
Hi, I'm Deborah Henley.
And I'm Joe Stubbins.
And we're your Senior Olympic coordinators.
Check out the stats and fun facts for the event this year.
Coordinators.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lawrence Brady. I am the head coach team leader of Desert Destroyers JOAC. We are proud and excited to be hosting the 2022 Senior Olympic Archery Tournament at CERC. Our club has a reputation of hosting quality tournaments. Expect nothing less from us on Sunday, January 9th. We hope to see you there. And remember, at Desert Destroyers JOAC, we teach you to keep them in the 10 ring.
Hi, my name is Diane Henriksen. I'm the badminton event coordinator for Senior Olympics. We will be playing at the end of January, and we hope as many as possible will come out and join us for the tournament and have fun.
Hello, my name is Charles Perez, and I'm the basketball shoot coordinator. I've been the coordinator for about 18 years now, and I enjoy each and every year of seeing returning athletes and new participants. The events that we have are the regular shoot, three-point shoot, and the free throw shoot. We would love for you to come join us and give it a shot. See you in a few weeks. Good luck.
I'm Ed Schaefer, president of the Sunflower Bocce Ball Club. We're thrilled to be hosting this year's bocce event. I hope you all come out to see us play the week of January 17th.
All of us at Sunflower Bocce Club want to thank Mountain View Retirement Village to sponsor this year's bocce competition, which is going to take place the week of January 17th. We really appreciate it, guys. Thanks a bunch.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm the coordinator in charge of Senior Olympics bowling. I look forward to seeing everybody out there. Let's have a good time.
Hi, I'm David Kay. I'm running the cribbage tournament for the Senior Olympics. Just can't wait to see you guys out there.
My name is Kamara DeVos. I'm the event coordinator for Senior Olympic Golf. I've been the coordinator for the past 18 years. I want to welcome you and wish you good luck.
Hi, everybody. My name is Abraham. I will be running the handball and racquetball portion of Senior Olympics. Good luck to everyone participating this year.
Hello, my name is BJ. I'm the Senior Olympics Horseshoe Pitching Coordinator. I've been doing this for just over 12 years. I'm also the Arizona State Horseshoe Pitching Secretary Treasurer, Statistician, and State Tournament Director. I've been in competitive horseshoes for approximately 15 years and enjoy all the activities associated therein. I trust that you'll enjoy all the activities you're participating in and have a good event. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Fred Rogers. I'm facilitating the Senior Texas Hold'em Tournament for 8 years. We would really like to see you here. Come and join us.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Gonzalez. I've been doing this table tennis event over 5 years, and I am excited and happy to run this event again this year.
Mike, do you have anything else to, or one of the other folks, do you have anything else to tell us about?
I think Mr. Stubbins may have a little more to share. Am I correct, Joe? Maybe not.
This is Deborah. I was just going to chime in real quick while Joe's working on his microphone issues. So we were excited to bring Senior Olympics back. I hope you guys can hear me okay. I just wanted to, sorry, Joe just gave me some paperwork. We were excited to bring it back for 2022. There were some challenges, of course, bringing it back with everything with COVID, but the people were excited to come back. You'll see that we had the virtual opening ceremonies. We do usually have that in person over at the Udall Park outside. I was going to give you guys some stats real quick. Joe was going to work on a slideshow, but let me read this off to you. So I'm just going to give you some fun facts that we have received. So we had 470 male participants, 230 female participants. We had 700 unique participants registered in a total of 1,144 different activities. Our oldest male participant is 96 years old, Sydney Stein. And our oldest female participant is 90 years old, and her name is Alma Moore. Other fun facts. Largest age group participating was the age group of 70 to 79. We had 288 participants. And what's interesting is we had participants from 16 different states in the U.S., and 94% of them were from Arizona, and we had one participant come all the way down from Canada. So those were just some fun facts. We were just glad to bring it back, and the participants were happy to be back as well. We were lucky that most of the activities were outside, so that was good for us as well. But Joe, I don't know if you have that slideshow, but those are my facts.
And I just want to give Joe and Deborah credit for their efforts. This was definitely a citywide, departmental-wide event with cooperation with all the other centers, all the Parks and Rec and staff that helped out, made this a very successful event. And we had like some record-breaking numerous volleyball teams signed up this year. Pickleball is always huge. So we're glad that we brought it back. And I think the participants are excited to continue and sign up next year. So we're looking forward to see the numbers for next year increase, and participation for sure increasing.
Yeah, we second that, Maylee. Thank you very much. They did a great job, and we've had great comments. So I don't know, Joe, if you want to give it one more shot, or we can come back, however you feel.
Joe's microphone still.
You guys hear me?
Oh, wait, maybe.
You guys can hear me finally?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know. Trust me, I didn't do anything to make that happen. But Deborah and Mele summed it up really well. I would say as a group, we were so excited to be able to offer it in these times. A lot of the feedback we got from our participants was how excited they were to be back out. They've been, not active for the last couple of years, and to even just get back out and walk or bowl, play a game of cards with a group of friends. It was so exciting and so much fun to be a part of. We already have improvements lined up for next year and years to come. So I just wanted to say that and thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to present this.
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is that it as far as the Senior Olympics goes?
Steve, I have a question when the time is right. I have a few questions.
Go for it.
Yes, and so I guess this is for Mele or Joe or Deborah. I know this may seem like or sound like a silly question, but where is the UDAL? I'm assuming this was at UDAL, correct? The location of the, and so where is the UDAL center located in here in Tucson?
So the UDAL Center is located at Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon. We are just the office, the hub where all the Senior Olympic stuff comes. We actually only hosted two events at our facility this year. We had 31 events lined up at 23 different venues all over town. But UDAL happened to host the badminton tournament and the basketball shoot.
And where is our location typically here in Tucson? Where do you usually host the events?
So Reed Park hosts horseshoes, the leisure walks, the road races. Lucky Strike Bowling is where we do bowling, golf course for our Reed Park golf course also included. El Pueblo Center used to do our 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We didn't bring that back this year. Archer Center is where we host our Texas Hold'em tournament. Clements is where we host our cribbage tournament. These are City of Tucson facilities for the most part. But we also partner up with the Pima County Shooting Ranges and other businesses here in town that are accommodating to our program.
Okay, thank you. That was such a wonderful video. And I was wondering, how is that video usually shared out prior to this event happening?
Sierra, our marketing manager, e-blasted it to all of our registered participants that have a working email address. I believe it was sent to 550 some odd individuals.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions, Lucy? All right. Very good. Then the next item on the agenda is number 6, the ground maintenance alignment. Mike, I think that's probably yours.
Yes, sir. I think I've mentioned this a couple meetings ago, but I'm proud to say thanks to our HR department and Lara Hemway for getting us the staff. We started on Monday, actually Tuesday, with Monday being a holiday. We have 3 ball field crews that started this week. Since we filled all our vacancies in the groundskeeper positions, we created 2 new parks maintenance coordinators for this position. So I have a ball field section team in section 1. Which would be the west side of town from Columbus all the way to Kennedy. Section 2 is a ball field crew housed out of Reed that takes care of the central part of town. And section 3 has a team that is the east side of town. So each team has 1 parks maintenance coordinator, 3 full-time groundskeepers, and we're going to hire 2 or 3 more non-perms to assist. Robin can probably share, but back in the day, we had 8 different ball field crews that went through around the city, so that we had consistency in maintenance on our ball fields and soccer fields. With all the budget cuts that happened in 2008 through 2011, the ball field crews were eliminated, and our core service crews were not only doing restrooms, but they were also taking care of ball fields. And so the consistency of our maintenance and our program was different throughout. So we'd get complaints at one park saying, you take care of this park better than that. And it was just a matter of staff and training. And so thanks to the addition of some new groundskeepers, that program started. And so what we did is we broke it out into the three sections that we currently have, and we pulled all the reservable ball fields out, and they are being maintained and prepped by this crew. So currently we're heavy into the fixing up the little leagues and softball fields and replenishing all the infield mix. And then once the summer kicks in, we will start working on the turf. Obviously that we can do some infield work now. And then when the weather warms up, we get soil temperatures above 55 degrees. We can start getting the Bermuda growth back in. And so we will have three basic programs annually for the ball field crews. And every year we'll pick a handful of fields to redevelop, relevel, you know, new infield mix, completely rebuild. So I'm very excited. It was very frustrating for our entire division to not be able to put the proper product out. We have the expertise. If you've been out to Lincoln, if you've been to the Annex fields, we do have the expertise. We just didn't have the staff and the leadership to lead those teams to doing it properly. So thank you to Lara and the city manager's office for allowing us to gain some more staff, which we have done, and very excited. Also, it's not really parks maintenance, but it's parks recreation. We had the addition of four pool supervisors. Previously, Billy Sassy is our aquatics manager, and a gentleman by the name of Eric Rogers. We had two permanent employees that ran 25 pools. And so now Eric retired, so we were down to just Billy. So again, with Lara's help and the city manager's office, we now have four full-time aquatics supervisors to go along with Michael Winton, who is the aquatics program manager or programs coordinator, and then Billy. So we do have leadership at each pool. We have a permanent pool supervisor at each of the year-round pools, and they will oversee the extended pools when they open, as well as three or four summer pools based on the location of their permanent pool, which the four permanent pools are obviously the Ark, Clements, Catalina, and I can't believe I'm on a blank, Sunnyside. So those are the four year-round pools. And then there's five extended pools that open up on April 1st. And then the summer pools open up the end of May, depending on the school year. So those are some additions that our department has gotten that have been greatly appreciated. And so that's some of the updates. If there's any questions or thoughts.
Questions or thoughts from any of the commission members? Mike, I happen to notice in the, I'll get to you in just a moment, Lucy. Mike, I happen to notice in the yearly reports that it was last May when Lara suggested that she would be coming back to us with any updates of policies toward swimming and that sort of thing. With the advent of hiring these three new people, do we look to have that back on our agenda sometime soon? Because it's been almost a year since she said she'd be bringing that to us.
Yeah, there's four new pool supervisors, and yes, I will put that on the agenda.
All right, Lucy, your question?
Yes, just a few questions. And so in regards to being able to fulfill that infrastructure, congrats with your pool supervisors. I believe you said it four of the four pools. And I was just wondering, I'm trying to get an idea. I've been in Tucson for about 15 years, and I've noticed some of the pools that have been open, and then there's some pools that are not really accessible in certain areas, or there's some pools that are, say, for example, the Sugar Hill pool. I know that I work closely with the neighborhood association in Sugar Hill, and I know that there have been some infrastructure issues regarding the pool there. And so I'm just wondering, in terms of year-round pool, you mentioned four places: Sunnyside, Catalina, I believe, a few, and two others. And then you mentioned extended pool that happens at a certain time of the year, and then at the end of the year for summer. And so I'm trying to get an idea, just within the last 15 years, what pools, if you can answer this question, what pools have been opened, or what pools have been shut down within the last maybe 5 to 10 to 15 years, if you can answer that question, or if someone can answer that question at some point.
Yeah, I can answer that question with, and staff can help me along the way here. But yes, so the four year-round pools, and the biggest reason for the year-round pools is they have boilers, so we can actually heat them. So again, those are Sunnyside, Catalina, Clement, and
the Ark.
How am I doing? In the Ark, correct. So those all have boilers, and we can heat them. Then the extended pools open in April, and that would be the Archer, Udall, Fort Lowell, Amphi, and
Quincy Douglas.
Thank you.
Quincy, yes.
QD. Thanks, everybody. So I don't have it in front of me. There you go. Perfect. Whoever, is that you, Sierra? Thank you.
Yes.
Donnie, thank you. And then El Pueblo, Freedom, Himmel, Jacobs, Jesse Owens, Kennedy, Mansfield, Menlo, Ori, Palo Verde, and Purple Heart are our summer pools. The only ones that have been closed are the ones on the right: Escalante, Mission Manor, Northwest, Randolph, and Santa Rita. I will add a couple things, again, with Lara's help and the city managers. And actually, the only thing that COVID brought to the table was some operational money that we were allowed to use to replace pool filters. We have replaced the pool filters at Catalina, Sunnyside. We're in the process of replacing the bathhouse at Fort Lowell and repairing that. We did the pool at Clements, the deck and tile. Currently on schedule, Sunnyside was actually just completed with the filters. And we did get Mansfield. Lucy, that's the part, the pool you're referring to.
Okay.
That is in the bond for phase three. And we just submitted, the bond oversight committee meets on the 21st. And we've submitted to move that up from phase three to this fiscal year, to replace the filters, the deck and tile, and the plaster at Mansfield Pool this year. I can't promise that until after May 21st or March 21st, when the bond oversight committee approves that. But that's in the queue.
I will definitely watch and look for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, feel free to, you know, and I'm writing a note. I will email you on the 22nd. Okay. Once we hear, I'm sure, you know, we're confident that it will go through, because what they move things forward for is safety and failure, and the pool filters at that pool are failing. And there's actually two of them that don't work at all. So if we don't repair them now, you know, there's potential it may not open this summer, which is why we feel confident that we'll get that moved up. It is in the bond. And again, fingers crossed, we will get it moved forward.
Yeah, definitely phase three is not sufficient. So sooner than later, definitely. I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'll look for that email. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike. Manon, you had a question?
I do. Mike, is it Catalina that's on Dodge Avenue associated with the high school?
Correct. We got three pools associated with high schools. Correct.
Okay. Has the Catalina in the last 5 years had any, the restrooms had any updates? And I'm asking this question as a lap swimmer who had also a broken foot and was having a very difficult time taking showers there, where I felt safe. There just was no equipment. They tried to put together some equipment for me, because their water pressure was so high with their shower, it would blow off things. And there was a lot of water standing, I remember, pretty consecutively in Catalina. And that surprised me, given that it was a high school. At some point, I stopped going because I didn't feel safe. Have they managed to make any renovations to that since then?
Yes, and actually, again, going back to the COVID time when we had some funding, we actually painted and repaired 6 or 7 bathhouses. Sierra will have to help me with this one, too. I believe it was Clements Udall, Catalina, Amphi. We repainted Menlo. We did 7 in total. So, yes, Catalina was one of them, and we replaced the countertops. Actually, Sunnyside was one. So we did replace the entry countertops at all the pools, had the buildings painted, new signage, and areas that had issues with floors repaired. Clements had the same issue. So those were both repaired, and Himmel was the other pool.
Okay. And so they all came with a reasonable handicap shower for all of them?
I don't know if we were able to make ADA repairs, but we were able to fix building issues. But ADA, I do not know. That was not done at that point.
All right. Thanks so much.
Any other questions on this item?
I have one more, but I thought I saw Robin's hand.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good. Thank you. I had it answered. Thank you. I appreciate it, Lucy.
No problem. Right, and Lucy. So just a quick question. And Manone made me remember or recall the bathroom situation at the Mansfield pool is dire. There are lots of unhoused folks who reside in the area, and so it's locked sometimes. And one of the things that I have taken upon myself when I was running for city council was to go and visit many of the parks in and around Tucson. And so there are quite a few parks that I've had an opportunity to one of the first things I'd do is if there were a bathroom, I'd go to the bathroom and just look at the facilities. And so the Mansfield pool, definitely there needs to be some attention. And there isn't a shower, facility there. If that could also be a possibility in this bond override in terms of consideration, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Not seeing anyone else. We'll go on to item number 7, which is the Commissioner Awards, the Tucson Parks and Recreation Commissioner Awards, and hopefully everybody got their things in by last week. What's the result? I'm not even sure who's giving that.
I thought we're arguing who should do this report, but I'll go ahead and with Sierra's help and Diana's help, but she put it up. And so the results are in front of you, where the top 3 selections for the, are you moving that or? Okay. So the top 3 teams are the therapeutic recreation team. I can't see the next one. Jerry Kincaid's team, and you got to slide it. I can't read it. She's got to slide it. So hang on. Sorry. Technical issues.
Would you guys like me to do it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, Sierra.
Sure.
Which is why we asked a half hour ago, but okay.
All right. So the team category you can see here, these were the top 3 teams. We're going to scroll down away from the colorful bar graph. The top team with 50% of the votes was the therapeutic recreation team. And then I don't know the generic name for this team, but all these names, Jerry Kincaid, Miguel, Andrea, David, Alyssa, Carol, Tina, Ashley, Ruben, Kamaro, KD, Michael Wetton, Donnie, their team got 25% of the vote. So each got, it looks like, one. And then the next team to score highest was Dan Jefferson's team. Well, Leisure Classes scored four. So Leisure Class team had an average score of four. And Jefferson, I don't know how many you guys are picking from each category. Do you know?
Three.
Okay, so those three are the top three. Therapeutic Recreation, then that large team with Jerry Kincaid as the first name, and then the Leisure Class team. Those were the top. Obviously, a close fourth was Ann's team. For the individual awards, the first with an average score of 10.25 was Jerry Neely for the individual, and then Evan Pilling with 8.5, and then Guadalupe Lupita Johnston with 8.25. Do you guys want to see more scores here, or are you good with just those top?
We set a total of about 10.
Okay. So you're taking the top five in each, or?
Were we taking the top three for teams and then seven individuals?
I thought that was the breakdown.
Okay. So the next one would be Terry Nierzwicki, and then Miguel Garcia, Robert Cota, and then the last one would be Dominic.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. All right. Questions or comments from the commissioners? Robin?
Definitely. I'm very impressed with the way that this was put out and put out to the public. I think there was a great representation from the department and outside of the department. Just really happy with the process. And I think you are, the idea of recognizing these people that I know put their heart and soul into what they do is really probably one of the most exciting things that the commission can do. So I also appreciated the way that you have put together the information, the survey, or the way that we were able to prioritize, and the programs that you used were very helpful. I wonder if there might be a way. The only thing I thought when I was reading over them is I wonder how we can glean more information. Some people that I know are just outstanding employees and dedicated civil servants, there might have been one or two lines written. So if there's some way that that we can solicit maybe a greater narrative, if that makes any sense, if anybody has any ideas on that. Because these were all great nominations. There's not a doubt about it. I personally, obviously, I worked for the department for 39 years, know most of them personally, and every one of those people that were nominated are very dedicated civil servants. We want to make sure that when that goes out, that we're able to get enough information so that we can make the everybody reading it who is able to understand the quality of the professionals that are nominated. So thank you for
anybody
that.
Else?
Thanks for all the work you put into it.
Thanks.
Anyone else? I think. Go ahead.
I'd love to say I agree 100% with what Robin said, and the presentation was great. The only thing I might have appreciated is if the team and the individuals were separated, so I wasn't scrolling back and forth all the time trying to make decisions. And I also would really love it if, as a newcomer who knows some of these people but not all of them, if there was a way to get somewhere to reach out to get a little bit more narrative. And I did email asking that question as well, because I felt like these were all just amazing people who had gone above and beyond, and I wanted to give them the best, you know, the best that I could give them for their service too. So anyway, in the future that we could have more narrative, I would so appreciate that. Thank you.
I think probably the best way to address that is that in the future we put a, when that section comes up with the description of why they deserve the awards, put a range of how many words are expected. I don't know whether you need, you know, a top number, but we probably do. But I would imagine if we put, you know, 50 or 100 words down as the minimum, then we'll get 50 or 100 words. And that way somebody won't get slighted just because whoever filled out the form only wrote two sentences, which I think probably happened this time. But that's something that we just need to put down in the notes on how to run this thing in subsequent years. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
Just how do we move forward with this? What will, when will this be on the agenda? This has always, of course, come up at city council meetings, the presentations. What is the idea to move forward to present these awards?
Well, in reading over the minutes, we originally said that we would like to have these awarded in the spring. I don't know whether that's still possible or not. I suppose it depends on whether we can get it on the council agenda for, my guess is now maybe sometime in April. As things, you know, it's getting awfully close to March to try to shove it in the next 3 or 4 weeks. But I think that would be up to staff to try to see when there is availability on the council agenda to do that, and then just draw up the actual award certificates or whatever they're going to be handed out.
When will the council be meeting in person?
That we don't know yet. And then staff is going to have to reach out to mayor and council staff to see what opportunities we have for the presentations. So we'll have to get back to you with that information.
Yeah.
And we do need to vote. Somebody needs the motion and first, second on the team and the individual.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the three top scoring teams and seven individuals to be presented with Park and Rec Commission Award, City of Tucson Parks and Rec Commission Awards.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
So moved. It's Lucy.
It's been seconded. All right, thank you, Lucy. Any further discussion on that?
Yes, I want to take a look at and make sure that presentation, I would hope that it's not something that we're doing on a Zoom meeting like this. Hope even if it means waiting a couple months, I know we don't want to go too far out, but I really hope that it's something we can do when, if not mayor and council, of course I'd love to do it with mayor and council live, but definitely want to do it live with people being together and recognize these individuals. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, how that can happen.
I think we could certainly. My thought is that maybe in two meetings, we might have a better idea of when the potential for when we could get on the agenda and then when they may be going back live. And we could make that determination in 2 months and say, okay, it's not going to happen, you know, until we don't know. So let's make a decision in a meeting or two. We can keep it on the agenda just for timing. It can be something we can say, there's no more information, we'll hold off for another month and we can keep it on. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I'd like to see a reception with it, and if they'd like to invite their families. A lot of these are a long time overdue.
Okay. So we'll keep that on the agenda, Diana, and then we'll revisit it. Hopefully with the idea that it will be live soon.
Excellent.
Thank you. I think numbers are getting better, hopefully. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And I'm back. I'm sorry, back to the motion. Robin made the motion. Lucy first. Is there a second?
No, Robin made the motion and Lucy seconded it.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
All we need is a vote now, I believe, unless there's further discussion. All right, all those in favor, please wave your hand or say aye or whatever.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, any opposed? All right, it appears to be unanimous, so that one is taken care of. Okay. The next item, Diana, I'm going to let you describe why this is on our agenda. That's the annual reports. I'm sorry, Diana. Diana, are you still there? I don't see. Diana is muted. Let me, oops, there she is.
I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I put the agenda back on to share. And then so in regards to the annual reports, we are basically catching up, you know, with the COVID situation and with me coming in and taking over the position and kind of learning the process here with the commission, the reports and all that good stuff. So I had prepared the 2019 through 2021 annual reports for your review. I know it may seem kind of weird to have the new members kind of review and approve on that, being that they're short tenure with us, but they are going to have the opportunity to do that. So if you have you all reviewed all the reports, it does need to be voted on, so I can submit that to the mayor and council and by March 1st. So we're just trying to catch up here.
Okay, and I did take care of or sent Diana notice about a typo that I found in the 2021 report that she said she would take care of. Did anybody find any other typos or anything else in any of the three annual reports? That would be for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Okay. Not hearing any, then I will entertain a motion. I don't think we need to do these separately unless somebody objects. So I would entertain a motion at this point to take all of the annual reports from those 3 years and approve those.
I think Robin's hand is up, and so I'll like to speak after Robin.
Oh, okay, Robin.
Followed. I apologize. I just left it up again.
Oh, okay, then Lucy.
Thanks, Lucy.
Back to you.
Yeah, this is my second meeting, and I am really interested in the budget and learning as much as I can so that I can benefit, you know, our constituents, the city of Tucson. I will abstain from this vote because I was not here. This is my second meeting. And so I think it to be responsible and to be as you know, transparent as possible. I just cannot vote today on this.
And I understand that, and that was one of the reasons that I brought that up to Diana as to what the purpose of this on the agenda was. Manon, you have a comment?
I'm with Lucy on this. Even though I've been on the commission for several more months, we were non-operational for a few of those months. And I would also like to abstain because I just would like to understand more and sit down with someone if possible and go over a few things.
Okay. Both of these reports were done based on the minutes from the meetings in 2019, 2020, and 2021 that actually took place, as opposed to the ones where there were no, there was no, not enough people to have a meeting. So I guess that leaves Robin. And Robin, I couldn't remember how long you had been on, but I said it was probably 2.5 years or something like that. Is
yeah,
that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was here for the whole time. I don't have any trouble in approving these. Robin, do you have any trouble with approving the three different years?
These have to be, tell me the process here. Please help me understand that they're going to have to be to mayor and council by March 1st.
The March 1st is a due date to get it to the city clerk's office, and then in the future, they present it to the mayor and council for their review. And if they have any comments, then they come back to us. This is a learning process for me. I just learned that the annual reports do need to be approved and reviewed by the committee here. And I also just learned recently that the board is actually the chair and vice chair are to prepare the reports with the committees that the board's support. That's what's preferred, but I think in years past, the executive assistant has been preparing that for your approval, review approval, and signature. So I'm good with that, continuing that process if you'd like, but whichever you prefer.
Diana, may I ask a question?
Yes, definitely.
And so those reports in the past 4 years, was that prepared by the chair and vice chair, or was that prepared by someone else?
To my knowledge, I did come in new. The executive assistant was preparing the reports.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robin, did you have any other comments or questions?
No, I wish that, well, I'm just hoping that there can be a process proposed so that it does happen that there's greater involvement by the commission.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm still wondering. I don't think we have a motion to adopt the 2019 through 2021 annual reports. Robin, are you willing to do that, or you want me to?
You can go ahead, Steve. I'm just really not.
Okay, well,
I wish I was more familiar I wish it was more involvement, and that it did, that it was developed and implemented in the way that it was set up to be. However,
who knows? Because before, I don't remember ever this coming to, in the 5 years that I've been on this, I don't remember this ever coming to the commission before. But I did go through and read them, and I didn't see anything that looked out of the ordinary as far as what I remember from those particular meetings, of which I think I had attended all of them. So I will be more than happy to make the motion to approve the annual reports for 2019 through 2021 so that these can be sent to the clerk's office. Now, the question is, Robin, will you second that?
I will second that motion, Steve. I trust your judgment.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you. And then, Steve, this is Diana. We'll get together to make arrangements to get those signed.
Oh, surely. Okay. Surely.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to assume then, Robin, that you and I will vote aye. Is that a reasonable assumption, Robin? Okay, so we have that. All right, very good. Let's get down to
I have a question. Yeah, so as there are two members currently here that have abstained and two members that have approved, what's the, in terms of a vote process going forward, not going forward, what does that look like for what has just happened?
We'll have to check with the clerk's office if two voted yes and two abstained. I don't know if that passes or not. So we will have to let the clerk's office know, and they can determine that. And moving forward, this is something that the executive director and the department for the has always done the report and gotten it to the commission for approval. If this chair, upcoming chair, would like to do it or sit with the executive director as it's being processed, we can actually plan that. If I'm not mistaken, I believe in the past we have had the chair in the office with the director when the report was processed. We could make sure that happens, Robin, as you mentioned. And but again, this is, as Mr. Poe said, it's basically just a review of all the agendas that happened each meeting. And we will make sure moving forward that those things are addressed. And as far as the vote, I don't know. We'll run that by the clerk's office and let them know how this went.
And I'm sure you'll let us know that.
And also in going forward, this is the kind of conversation I think that we as a commission, we need to have in terms of roles and responsibilities, and also in order to do due diligence to this commission and to our responsibilities. I am committed to that. And so I would love an opportunity for us to maybe have a workshop or, you know, some kind of training on those roles and responsibilities, because this happened, this document, if it's really supposed to be drafted by the chair and vice chair, then I think that in going forward, we need to ensure that that happens.
Annually, and I believe Robin and Mr. Poe have been through it, but we've actually had the clerk's office come now and then. And now with three new board members, we can ask them to come one more time and to give an update on the rules and the policies that each commission follow, if that's reasonable. Once Mr. Rincon comes on, and well, potentially we may have two more, hopefully. And maybe at that point, when we do have a full commission, we can ask the clerk's office to join us again. Does that work?
That, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good idea, Mike, except for the part where you said when we have a full commission. I'm not sure, because of the record of non-appointments that have been made in the last year or two, that we should necessarily wait that long.
Okay, Lara's pushed hard. I will share that. And we can wait one more meeting, and if not, we'll have them at the next.
Okay. I don't think Lara's the problem there. I think the problem the offices that didn't appoint somebody. So we can't do much about that other than just urge them to take their responsibility seriously.
Absolutely.
Okay, reports and announcements. The Parks and Recreation Commissioners first. Anybody have anything that they would like to report from the commissioners? I don't see any hands going up. I have, Robin, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm really thrilled that the Buffalo Soldiers will have a flag raising at Quincy Douglas on Friday at 10 a.m. They've done just a phenomenal job with the memorial. And I think it's just really cool that Jerry Neely has been asked to be in the rodeo parade with the Buffalo Soldiers, and now they'll have a flag raising on Friday morning at 10 a.m., which I wouldn't miss. And just want to announce that. I know it's not in Ward 3, but there's just, I'm very thrilled with that collaboration, and I think it's definitely noteworthy. Also, I've had calls, Donnie, I hope you're on here, about the extravaganza in Mansfield Park. So I know that you've been getting together on a regular basis. Do you want to tell us what's going on with that?
Yes. So we've had our second meeting as a group. We met right after we met with Kevin and his team. And so Marlene is on board. And we've reached out to Armando, who's been a staple in our our group organization. So he's back on board as well as Rose. Good. And so we're hoping to do a little bit of a hybrid this year, whereas last year we went completely virtual and then we did the drive-through event on that day. We're hoping to do still the egg hunt where people go out and look at all of the different parks and do the scanning and are able to submit, you know, online and do those things, but then have the actual event in person back at Mansfield Park on April 9th. So all of that information will be forthcoming, but.
Great. I know that of course, you know this. I'm just thrilled that Armando and Rose are part of that planning process.
Yes, us too.
Yeah.
Armando's our connection to Sugar Hill, so we love that too.
Right on. Okay. I have something for I'll wait for future agendas. Thank you, Steve. I think that's it as far as.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? I have a concern that I want to express, and that is that with the leaving of our chair and vice chair, there are events coming up that, such as this flag raising ceremony and things like that, where I think we need to make sure that we have official representation from the commission. And so I believe that we need to put on the agenda how we want to handle these things. And with that one being Friday of this week, that one obviously we can't deal with, but any subsequent dedications or anything like that, we need to have some kind of a plan so that the commission is represented by someone at those. And so I would like to be able to discuss that and have that put on the agenda when we get to that point. But that's my rationale anyway. Okay, anybody else in the commissioners have a report of anything to give to us today?
Hey, Steve, I can actually attend that Quincy Douglas event.
Good.
We are, this is rodeo week, and so today was our last day, you know, teaching. So I can definitely go and support and represent the commission, if that's okay with you all.
Well, I'll see you there, Lucy.
Oh, okay, Robin. Look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
All right. Well, we are at least represented by half the commission at that point. Oh, yeah. Maybe a little more. Thank you very much, ladies. That's very good. And I may be able to see you there too. All right. Let's go on to the staff. So the director's not here. Anybody else on the staff have any kind of report or announcement to make?
Well, you have the staff reports in front of you. If you want anybody to review them, they certainly can. I hope you all had a chance to look at them.
Yes, sir.
It's projects that were done and things that happened. If anybody would like to highlight any of those, or if anybody has any questions, I'll let staff or the commissioners go from here.
Did anybody have any questions on the reports that were submitted?
Honestly, I think it must have been a typo. And I don't know, because I was looking at it today. Is Armory open from 9 to, thank you for posting the hours of operation, by the way. Is Armory open from 9 to 1?
They might be open from 9 to 1 during this phased reopening. And then once we go to our reopening plan, where we're going into phase 2, March 1st, it'll be 9 to 4.
When will that be, Donnie?
March 1st.
Oh, March 1st, you said that. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll update our reports for our next go around. But yeah, we're finally all, you know, according to Pima County Health Department, we're in the yellow range as opposed to all bright red range. And so we're going to go open up some more amenities and more hours at some of our centers. We're still delivering senior meals, so we can't go full throttle at all of our centers because we're using staff hours to deliver those meals twice a week. And so once we get back to serving hot meals at the centers, we'll go back to normal operating hours.
Okay, so that's, there are no congregate meals being served at any centers?
Not anything hot, no. Everything is either frozen or at Armory, we're doing bagged, or they come and pick that up because they don't have access to, you know, a refrigerator or a microwave, so we're doing that.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions of the staff reports? Okay, I don't see any hands or things. Mike, did you have anything on behalf of the director that we were supposed to be told?
It's muted and I've been talking, sorry. Just point out, I know you've all looked at it, but the marketing report that was there was put together, and then the capital report. Next meeting, Mr. Jackson will be back and actually can review those.
Okay.
They're listed there where they're at in the process. So, and I will share a little fact that in this next fiscal year, there's actually 30 projects in the queue. So we got staff, capital staff are very busy and moving forward. As far as the director's report, she just wanted to share again her apologies for, she'd rather be at a commission meeting than maybe a council meeting, but that's not her words. That's just me guessing. But she does apologize and wanted me to make sure that I would share with you that in the next meeting, we will make sure to include the Reed Park Master Plan again and how the planning is going, and the Parks and Recreation budget presentation will be provided then as well. So those are two things that were going to be on the agenda today, but with her not being present, she asked that we put that on the next agenda.
And I do want to thank whoever on the staff provided us with the information after the last meeting about the zoo attendance and that sort of thing. The numbers in December of this year or this past year were phenomenal compared to anything that I had seen before. And so I hope that continues. I'm sure that the zoo lights had a lot to do with it, but still, it was a really, really good job of getting that word out to the community. All right, let's see if there's anything else. Let me look and see if I see any hands raised. Robin, your hand is still raised. Do you need anything else?
Yes. Well, I'm waiting for future agenda items, Steve.
Oh, okay, very good. Manon?
Hi, I wanted to just ask a quick question. Is there a problem with all four of us being at the Quincy Douglas events at the same time?
As long as we don't talk about business that has to do with the commission, I can't imagine that there would be any problem there.
That is correct, Steve. And I will notify staff of your attendance that you plan to attend.
Okay. Well.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Let's go down to future agenda items. Go for it, Robin.
Future agenda. Oh, Mike, Rio Vista and their plan. Wait a minute, a second here. Sorry, I want to get that back up. I know that... Oh, I'm so sorry I had that up. And now I don't.
Do you want us to come back to you, Robin?
No. Well, yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. I would like, after the addressing of the board earlier by Margaret, I would appreciate it if staff could do some kind of a report, especially in these areas where the dog parks have just been popping up in the last couple of years, giving us some indication of what kind of handicapped parking is near the place where the dog park part of the park is. So I don't have any specifics, but if you could just give us a general idea of whether there is handicapped parking and approximately how far they are for these dog parks.
Okay. Done. We'll also include the budget presentation and the Reed Park Master Plan presentation and a discussion of the commissioners' It maybe depending on the size of the agenda, Mr. Poe, we could maybe put that one later when we have a fuller commission, or I can put that next meeting.
Well, we could, depending on, are you talking about the dog park situation?
No. We'll put that on the discussion regarding commissioners' presence at events.
Oh, well, the only thing is, if we have any events coming up fairly soon, I want to make sure that those are covered. So we don't have any worries about Friday, I don't believe, because two or three of us will be there. But I don't know what else might be on the agenda or on the horizon as far as things that need to have the commission in attendance.
So all of our staff reports have upcoming events and stuff, and so we can highlight the ones, I can have staff highlight the ones that they feel would be outstanding to have you in presence, you know, a commission or as part of the group. So we can highlight those and discuss them at each meeting. Probably doesn't need to be an agenda item. It can just be done under staff reports.
Okay. Robin, are you ready? And I see
Manon. I am ready. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, you'll know how to address this. With the Rio Vista Natural Resource Park, the plan I know was submitted for review for the habitat enhancement at Rio Vista Park. I know it was submitted. My understanding is that it was it approved by the department? I just hope so. Can we put that on as an agenda item so you can update us at the next meeting?
So yeah, there was an agreement, previous agreement that's still in place. However, we're in the process before anything is reviewed or updated. We're actually putting together a park master plan for that park. And so the holdup is we're waiting for that process. And I can double check with Mr. Jackson on where that is in the process.
Excellent.
I believe we're within 30 days. Maybe Sierra has an update on when we'll be doing public outreach. Is it not?
I don't.
Okay, too soon. Okay, so we know that's in the process. We're actually getting that put together. So I think that's okay, the holdup.
So the master plan that they're waiting on is the Rio Vista master plan, not Parks and Rec Department master plan.
No, there is a master plan specifically in place for Rio Vista Park. One of the reasons is there's in the bond, there's a splash pad actually scheduled to go in there. And we understand from the neighborhoods and different groups and the ward office that may or may not be necessary in a natural resource park. Hence why we're putting a master plan in place so that we do know what the neighborhood and the community wants for that park before we make any more changes.
That makes sense. So I totally misunderstood from the way that was communicated to me. I was thinking that they were waiting on a Parks and Rec master plan versus just specifically the natural resource park.
Yeah, it's specific to that park, correct.
Okay. And so is that something that you can update us on next month?
Yeah, Greg will actually put that in as part of the capital. He actually covers the master plans with Ileana and the capital project. So we can have that on this report.
They've tried the night. I know you've been really supportive of them, Mike, and others, obviously, with the department. And they just have so many wonderful things that they have collaborations on and raising their own funds. And I know that that's something those kind of collaborations are something that obviously we fully support.
As do we. They're one of the parks chose. Yeah, we chose not to. We're not using any synthetic herbicides in that park. It's strictly an organic park with the help of the neighborhood and the work that we've done there. So yeah, we've collaborated very well, and we're hoping to absolutely do that in the future.
And it's great that they're having their night walk. I know they tried that before and it didn't move forward. And so seeing things move forward is encouraging for all. So thanks for that.
Robin, did you have anything else? I've got two other people with their hands up.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go to Manon.
Hi, I'll keep this brief, but Mike, in regards to the handicap parking in Reed Park around the dog parks, there was just one aspect of this I wanted to mention as someone who uses a lot of dog parks and has had some health issues myself. Generally, when I go into this, I've been in both big dog parks with big dogs and small dog parks with small parks in Reed Park specifically, but also in other parks around town. And generally what I notice is that you might have one or two people who would need a handicap space in front of the big park, but in the smaller dog park, you typically have, you know, if you have 12 people in the park, 7 to 8 of those people will have handicap placards, during evenings. And it becomes a bigger issue during events where, you know, people who are isolated at home, who don't have a lot of mobility, drive their dog to the dog park, but during large events in Reed Park, they cannot come because they will not be able to find a parking space that they can get to. So that was something I just wanted to add. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I did get your email, and actually staff, we were out there today taking pictures and preparing. So yeah, absolutely. We will put something together for the next meeting. And every park is a little different. So absolutely. We'll look at it that way.
All right. Manon, did that answer your question, or did you get your point across okay?
Yes, I think so. I have noticed across the board in Tucson at all, you know, generally the small dog parks require more placards than the larger dog parks do. By the nature of small dogs are less likely to pull someone over and break a hip. And that's why they're chosen.
Good point. All right, thank you. Lucy?
I just wanted to ask Robin if she had a flyer or some kind of information that she can share in detail about the event for Friday. I sent you an email. If you can email that to me, I'd love to be able to just share that on my social media.
Okay.
And also for Mike, I was wondering if we could also add an update for the Mansfield pool as well, because I know by then you would have had your meeting, the bond override meeting, or, you know, some kind of discussion about the fiscal year's budget and how monies are going to be spent.
So I think what I'll do is I'll list that as bond oversight committee update. If that's fair, that's because there's several things that we're submitting for so that I could share the whole thing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
And Lucy, I want to tell you that Jerry Neely called to tell me about that. I don't know if there's anything in print. So I'm wondering, does anybody with the department know that?
Sierra?
Sorry, one more time. I had a 5-year-old coming in my ear.
I've been called worse, Sierra. Thanks.
Sierra, do you have anything in print on the Buffalo Soldiers flag raising on Friday at 10 a.m. at Quincy?
Yeah. Do you want the program, you mean, like emailed to you? Is that what you're looking for? It's also on social media, yes. NewsNet. Okay.
Thank you, Sierra.
Diane, she'll send it out.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else have anything? All right. I was just going to say quickly,
thank you for everybody bearing with us with all our technical issues today. We made it through.
Yeah, almost.
It's great to see Senior Olympics back up and running. So
the next meeting I have on my calendar is Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm going to assume, unless the city makes a big change, that it will be on MS Teams. And we'll find out what's going on as the city changes things. Anyone have anything else that we need to do before we adjourn?
Thank you, staff.
All right. Yes, thank you very much. And objection, then we'll declare the meeting over.
Thank you all.
Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for all your hard work.